The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Israel's military has this morning ordered residents of Gaza City to evacuate ahead of what the country's defense minister has called a mighty hurricane to hit the skies. It follows days of bombings of high-rise buildings in the city, with Benjamin Netanyahu saying they brought down 50 terror towers. Meanwhile, Hamas says it's studying the latest ceasefire proposal it has received from the US. Joining us now, Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
The Israelis are not for turning on this one. It seems that they want to devastate Gaza City, full stop.
Yes, I think they want to really effectively demolish it. And I mean, the health ministry's reporting 65 more Palestinians killed in the last 24 hours, 430 wounded. And of those killed, five apparently were starved to death. So it's a terrible situation for the Palestinians. But your key point, I would agree with, the Israelis have now decided that the one major area of the whole Gaza Strip, with its 2.3 million people, is Gaza City, which to some extent is still standing. And the Israelis basically seem to be intent on destroying that. As you said, Netanyahu describes the high-rise flats blocks as terror towers, and they apparently will go. One of the effects of that, of course, is more and more visual indications of that, you know, live footage of 15-story towers being bombed to collapse, which is circulating around the world, maybe not on too much of the legacy media in the Western countries, but certainly around the rest of the world and across the Middle East. So people are aware of what's happening, and it looks like the Israelis are, to put it very bluntly, going for broke while they can.
So here we have a situation where people have been living in these high-rise towers. I mean, that's the way accommodation tends to be concentrated in cities which themselves are overcrowded. So those people will have nowhere to go, and a stream of more people being displaced will continue out of Gaza City if they can get out safely.
Well, that's the first point. I mean, tens of thousands appear to have already left. And you're getting that idea from the death toll that many are getting killed. Far, far more are getting badly wounded. And the hospitals will have major problems in coping. But yes, it is a question of whether they can get out. I think the key thing is that Netanyahu has decided to do as much as he can, as quickly as he can, while he can. And really, the human cost does not count. You simply called any high-rise block of flats a terror tower, and then you can do what you want. And that essentially is happening. There are some changes overall. You're now starting to see some European states beginning to break ranks, most notably Spain, but also Belgium as well, and that may expand. But Trump seems quite happy to let Netanyahu get on with what he's doing. Trump just says, you know, Hamas should just give in and then all will be well. And Hamas doesn't see the world that way. It doesn't think all will be well.
Now, the use of the term terror towers is straight out of the Trump playbook. You call something evil, even if it's not, and it becomes, you know, the catch cry that MAGA will use. So this is what Netanyahu is doing as well. Call them terror towers, and that's justification for bombing them down.
Yes, I think that's the case. And I mean, you know, the whole issue here is that Hamas is a terror organization, pure and simple. And there really is, one shouldn't really have to negotiate with them. But of course, one of the problems for Netanyahu and the Israeli Defense Forces is the very fact that negotiations are even taking place with something called Hamas means that Hamas actually survives. And I think one of the most important points now is to try and get an idea of the perspective of this entire conflict from Hamas's perspective, not from the West and not from the Israeli perspective. And then things look rather different, and one has to reach the conclusion that Hamas is not capable of being destroyed in the current circumstances. But there's no way that Netanyahu can recognize this, even if he and some of his people are saying this is probably true. They'll just go as far as they can and cripple Hamas as much as they can while they can. And this is where we are, sadly.
Now, the Israelis are able to act with this impunity because of the backing of Donald Trump. And I mentioned, you know, the names that Trump can put on something to make something justifiable. For example, the bombing by drone of that so-called drug cartel boat coming out of Venezuela, heading for Trinidad, perhaps. Just without any due process, 11 people were killed on a boat. And this kind of impunity that the United States is demonstrating is, if you like, contagious. Netanyahu embraces it, but so too does Putin in Ukraine.
Yes, and I mean, in a sense, what is happening is there is a worldwide deterioration in behavior in many ways. I'm not saying that there isn't appalling behavior in many conflicts. You look at what's happened in Sudan, Myanmar, DRC, and elsewhere. But the thing is, this is actually expanding and becoming normalized and becoming acceptable. And much as individual people within the UN and within the special agencies try to draw a point to this, they're not getting very much traction. And you do not have the kind of leadership in any major country, in a powerful country, to gainsay this. So I think at the moment we are stuck. And I mean, there's news coming through, I don't know how accurate it is, that there's been a drone attack on the lead ship in that peace flotilla that's heading for Israel while it was at anchor in a harbour, I think, in Tunisia. Not full information available on that, but that appears to be, again, preemptive action, which, as far as one can tell, almost certainly would be down to Israel. But well, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. This wider issue is the nature of warfare out in the open, as distinct from sort of being more hidden, is changing and is becoming more allowable, which is against all our interests, whoever we are.
Should it be true that an Israeli drone attacked a ship at anchor in Tunisia? I mean, that is an absolutely undeniable breach of international law.
Yes, but I mean, this is one of the problems. There is a deterioration in the acceptance of international law, the acceptance of even having it. And countries now are far more prepared to act with impunity. Now, again, one can't say this isn't before the behavior of the Soviets back in Afghanistan, the Americans in Vietnam, the British in so many colonial conflicts. But it's coming at a time when we thought we'd made progress in the whole process, going right back to the Geneva Conventions. All the negotiations in the 1940s and early 1950s seemed to point to a war in which at least people knew there were rules and on occasions followed them. And you even have both the International Court of Justice and the International Criminal Court, one acting on state level, the other at personnel level, who can actually take action. It's been very limited. It's not been satisfactory, but it's been there. But that now, I think, is being pushed to one side. And essentially, it's all things are allowed, which I think is very bad news, as I say, for conflicts virtually anywhere in the world.
And will we ever regain that kind of higher moral ground in terms of conflict resolution? It's hard to see it. I mean, the United Nations has become a bit toothless, given the attitude of the United States.
It has. I mean, there is a huge amount of knowledge about how conflict resolution can work, how mediation can work. The famous textbook, Contemporary Conflict Resolution, I think is now into its fifth or sixth edition. You know, a huge volume, and that quite readable as well, which just goes through all the different ways in which one can actually resolve conflicts at the international and regional level. The knowledge is there, the commitment is not. And I don't see, I'm not sure anybody sees an easy way to that changing. One thing which one has to say, though, is the other thing that's happening affecting all of this and increasingly is, of course, climate breakdown. And as that gets more severe, it may at last be a recognition by some of the sharper and maybe braver politicians that they've got to speak up on the way in which that alone is going to make the world a more dangerous place. And the fewer laws that are acceptable in that time are going to really decide whether we're going to have a world with a reasonable chance of peace. At the moment, it doesn't look good, but when everybody begins to see in the next 5 or 10 years that they're facing, you know, calamity on a global scale, that might possibly be the wake-up call that we start acting more in a more human way. Don't hold your breath, but it's certainly one possibility.
Paul Rogers, Emeritus Professor of Peace Studies at Bradford University, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.